Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Spencer.
And I'm Dan.
This is the Board Game Rundown. Today we're going to talk about Protospiel that we had in South Bend. We're going to talk about a new arcade that is opening up locally. We're going to talk a little bit about some news because we've got some funny stuff. And then a couple of Kickstarters and our own topic, which we decided on and we'll argue about. Okay. Sort of towards the end of the show.
And luckily we had like 3 weeks to prepare the topic.
100 weeks, yeah. Or today, which is my fault because it was a crazy busy weekend.
It was on the ride over.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey guys, texting and driving with my knees. No. So this weekend was super busy because in South Bend, we hosted our very first Protospiel convention. For 3 days, we had about 50 attendees, which is really good. We were hoping like if we get 10, like it'll be great. We had designers from Indy, Grand Rapids, the Chicago area, a little bit of all over, Plymouth, Goshen, like some a little bit closer, and some people drove a couple hours. Mm-hmm. I am so excited these guys brought this game that they're designing based on the old Shadowgate IP. So I'm an old Nintendo kid because I'm old and I had a Nintendo. And I played this game called Shadowgate, and I died 1.5 million times. I even had a Nintendo Power to, like, help me get through some of the levels. And there were other versions also, like, that came out, like, on Game Boy Advance and Super Nintendo and stuff. And I didn't get as much into those, but I love the old Shadowgate. These guys, paired up with the creator of Shadowgate, got the IP and the artwork. And they so when they go to Kickstarter, they're even going to have, as in a Kickstarter exclusive, 8-bit versions of the cards and stuff. So it looks like straight out of the original game. And I got to hold it and look at it. It is like very close to hitting Kickstarter.
That's impressive.
These guys were on the money. It looks so cool. I will definitely be talking about it when they get close to Kickstarter because I've been harassing them. I bugged them the whole time. They finally gave me an art book. They gave me an Art of Shadowgate book, like professionally produced. I clutched it and like ran away cackling as fast as I could. There was another really good game I played. It was sort of a deck builder called Heroes in the Shadows. And so this game, you can either attack your opponent. Or you can play up to 4 players. I played 2-player. And I think it really would be best no more than 3, personally. But with 2 players, it was pretty good. You can either attack your opponent or you can like attack like this boss monster. But if you don't attack the boss monster, he attacks you. Sure. So you can do multiple attacks, right? So I can attack you and I can attack the monster also. But it's really interesting because at the beginning of your turn, you're going to draw like, so you've got your whole deck to choose from. Depending on the level of the monster tells you how many cards you get to play that round. And the cards are numbered like 1 to 6. So if I'm the first player, you can play all your number 1 cards that you picked.
Okay.
Like in that initiative order, right? Mm-hmm. So and then you've got your 2 cards, your 3 cards, your 4 cards. But sometimes you've only got like 1s and 2s, or sometimes you might have like a, you know, 2s and 5s. I mean, just whatever combination you're trying to do. It was really neat. I hadn't played anything kind of like that. It was unique. And I like deck builders. And so like one of the things you do before the game is you draw like 12 cards. You pick 6 to keep. And the other 6 you give to your opponent, and they're doing the same thing. And then those are the cards you were able to buy.
But it was a sort of slow deck.
Oh, you played it.
I
That's
did.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You did play it. I forgot.
It didn't develop the deck as much as other deck builders. It was
no.
Each card has more importance than in a normal deck builder where you have such a small chance of drawing it. Here you get to choose that card.
Yes.
So...
So, okay. And then there are prerequisites, but you can buy items to, like, increase your traits.
Okay.
So if you have, like, better magic or better combat, like, you might buy a better card that you need to have at least a 4 in combat. Yep. And I really liked it. I beefed up on it. Caleb ended up playing, like, all Saturday. He played it, like, 4 more times.
Well, there was...
I won, by the way. Maybe that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
There were a few kinks they had to get through, mm-hmm. but I think they'll do it.
Yeah.
They'll get it.
Yeah, it seems like a really good designer, really good artwork.
I was impressed with the artwork.
The artwork was really good. It's very close. Also, another game. I was impressed with how many games that were like so close to being finished.
Yeah.
We had a lot of... there were games that were on index cards, and guys were playing, you know, with like Sorry pieces and stuff.
That'd be where I am.
But we had several like pre-production copies, like people with pre-production copies, very well made versions of their games and their prototypes. Another one that we played, it's the same guys who did the Shadowgate game. They made this game called Trick or Treat that they are going to launch on Kickstarter around October. It is a modular board. You get a meeple with like a that looks like a character like wearing a costume, right? So like a zombie or a ghost or a superhero, whatever. And you flip you decide which side of the street you're going to line up on. You flip the tile over, and there's a varying amount of houses on each side of the street. When you go to that house, you get a door card, and you flip it, and it'll say like draw three pieces. Everybody gets three pieces of candy. So then you blind draw out of a bag your candy. So they're hidden victory points. Then most of them are like 1 to 5. Like candy corns are 1, and king
doesn't
size
deserve it.
King
negative
size,
one.
King
Come
size,
on.
King size candy bars are 5 points. There is 1 Wonka's golden ticket in the bag, Whoa. Which is worth 10 points. There's apples and toothpaste, which are 0
oh,
points because those are
toothpaste.
Are a bummer.
What? Yeah,
those are a bummer. I thought toothbrushes. I've gotten toothbrushes,
oh,
but
really?
Never toothpaste.
Man, I never went to your guys' neighborhoods.
The worst one I ever got was nicotine gum.
Whoa! Here, kid.
Yeah, get over it, kid.
Yeah, I'm not using it. They smoking out of their trach as well. Like, I got 2 at the same time.
Wow.
It got dark real quick. Anyways, this game was not dark at all, but there was enough variation. You had, like, trick cards that you could play to, like, counter stuff. There's the possibility of, like, bullies showing up and stealing everybody's candy.
Huh. That sounds fun.
No, it was really good. Super family friendly, but enough there that like adults could kind of have a good time with it. Another game, probably like one of the most fun games I played the whole time I was there. It's some local guys and they're going to be on the show and they haven't named it yet, but it is a barnyard kind of theme game. And everybody's going simultaneously. You've got basically a card which tells you it might have like 3 cows, 3 pigs, and like 5 sheep, right? So what you're doing is you've got a die with all those symbols on it, a 6-sided die, and 1 symbol is a thief, so you can steal somebody else's. And everybody's rolling simultaneously to try to fill up their pen, and then they sell their stuff, and you get a coin. First 1 to 3 coins wins. It takes like 2 minutes to play.
Okay.
But like you're stealing from other people, you're grabbing stuff. It's hilarious. It's a mad dash.
It's hilarious.
It is. I'm really excited about it. Because it was really funny because one guy's like, what's the thief do? And I had just rolled a thief. And I'm like, oh, it's when you steal from somebody. And I just started taking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I did not know the guy. And
what a way to teach the game.
I know. I was going home and I said to my wife, I was like, oh, I hope that guy didn't think I was a jerk. And she goes, think or no?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, before you ever did that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Probably. Like, ugh. This guy? I'm stuck here? But anyways, Protospiel was really awesome. Our group is planning on hosting another one next year.
Yeah.
It is going to be amazing.
I hope I get to come again. Maybe more than one night.
Exactly. I was only able to make it there Sunday, which is the day that most people weren't able to make it.
Sure.
Right? So like, I was there with like, it was kind of cool though, because it was like 10 designers or something maybe.
Oh,
so we literally just kept rotating and
rotating
kind of playing games together.
So you got to play a bunch of stuff. Did you play anything that like knocked your socks off?
There's one thing that I really want to mention, just because, so we did something in a video not too long ago where we talked about, like, experiences, our favorite experiences and stuff, and this was probably one of my, like, this is probably going to make the list from now on, just because I sat with a guy, I think his name was Ryan Wilson. Pull out my book really quick.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Lick the finger as you turn the pages.
I don't know how far back it is.
I thought I was prepared.
It is.
Yeah, he brought a novel.
It is. Ryan Wilson, yep.
So you had it, you just looked that up for nothing.
Yeah, I got it right there.
That's good.
A working title in the game, I believe. But the point is, the game started, it's a very small little, I don't know if you guys played this, he was there all 3 days.
Met him, but I didn't play it.
Okay. He had a little game with poker chips, where you laid them out in front of you, and they had like designs drawn on them, like rockets and lasers and shield generators. And the whole game, it was so simple, because it was just, you're rolling like, it was, at the beginning, it's hard for me to remember because this is why it was such a great experience, because we changed the game so many times sitting there.
All right.
But it started as like, you roll like 2d8s or 3d8s, and then you activate the parts of your ship. So, okay, I'm going to activate this laser, which the laser does 2 damage. He gets to pick where the damage is done. So if he has a shielded piece, he flips it over. It's not shielded anymore.
Okay.
And the piece gets a second damage, it blows up. Or there's like, if you roll the laser number and the targeting computer number, you get to pick what you're shooting and stuff. Oh, and okay. So it's that kind of stuff. But that's the whole game. It was like this little less than 10-minute little thing. And then there were like four of us sitting there, and it's like, we all had such fun. It was like, man, what if we like tried this? And he was like, yeah. And because they always tell you at these protospiel things, like this was my first experience, but they always tell you, like, you know, you don't want to tell the developers what to do with their games. Right, you don't want to be like, oh, that was fun, but you should try this. Right. Because it's like, it's their game. You know, it's like, yeah. Tell them how it made you feel, and they'll...
If they want you to design their game for them, they'll ask.
But the guy was so open. And we sat there for like an hour and a half playing this little tiny game, and we changed it so many times. And by the end of the game, it was almost like a Stratego kind of thing where you like your ship had layers and shields in front of it, and you had to break through the shields and the pieces to get through the other ship's engine. And like, I loved it.
That's amazing.
I also, part of that experience, I guess, was then one of the other guys there, who was also kind of designing, said he's done some publishing or designing or something before, and like I was sitting there at the table as the guy was like, I want to help you work on this game. Like, I have people that can do art, and I was like sitting there like, this is happening.
You're watching it.
Yeah, so that was like my huge takeaway. Every game I played, I had a really good time.
That's
genuinely.
But
like,
great.
That was my big takeaway of like, wow, I just sat and like helped this guy design this thing as just a dude having fun.
Now, did he get your name so you can be listed as a playtester?
I mean, we traded names, sure, but I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know how far along that game is and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I got my business card, just like a crappy note that says Dan on it.
Like that Barnyard game, right? We sat and we discussed a couple of rules, and the guys, you know, were like, oh yeah, that's interesting, and making notes. And then we're like, I kind of just opened my big gap, and because we had sort of an alternative way you could kind of play.
Sure.
And I was like, and the guys were trying to say, well, you could do this and this, and about the alternative way. Mm-hmm. And the concern was then like trying to figure out the balancing and like, is that, do you want to commit to all of that? And I was like, or you could just make it as a variant.
Exactly.
Do like a paragraph of, this is a variant you could try, because that game is so simple that it is easy to house rule and kind of adjust for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, like a variant's a good idea, you know. And but there was a guy there at the table that was like, if you put this on GameCrafter, I will buy it today.
Oh, yeah. No, there were multiple people
there,
that kind of stuff. It was so cool.
It was really exciting. It was super, it was a great experience.
I just thought it was so funny that we started with 8 poker chips and 2 D8s or 3 D8s. And at the end of the time, it was 12 chip parts drawn again. You had to redraw everything on like little notepads. And then there were shield tokens out on the map. And we were using 4D6s. And it was like the whole thing was
different. The whole thing completely changed.
But everyone was loving it. It was cool.
That is great.
Yeah.
So the next one's going to be when?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We have to pick a date. Because the hard part for us, because we organized it, the hard part for us was finding a date where there wasn't already a protospiel.
Exactly. And
going
enough
on.
Space.
And enough space in between.
For travel and...
So like, we weren't... I think there's one in Knoxville, Tennessee next weekend. So we were not as worried about interfering with the Knoxville one as we might be with like a Grand Rapids or a Chicago one, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to pull anybody away from anybody in our area that would drive, you know, far enough, a few hours. So it takes a little finagling, right? A little bit of timing, but it'll be next year for sure. Since we are going to be planning it earlier, it will be easier to lock in our date because there will be less.
Sure. Booked. We also have got quite a bit of experience of maybe how to help host these things, you know, and stuff. We've learned.
Yeah, we learned a lot. Everything went really smoothly.
Oh, yeah.
We had a really great group of designers, some fantastic people, some really awesome playtesters. I had a friend from Indianapolis come up, and he just playtested.
Yeah.
Like he didn't design games. He's like, yeah, it looks interesting. I'm going to come up and check it out for a day.
Yeah, because I was there on Sunday, and there was like so many developers there, I guess I would say, like they all kept getting confused because I didn't bring anything.
Oh,
you know, they were just like, what'd you bring? And I was like, oh, I'm just here to like, I'm kind of hosting, but then also just playing. And they're like, oh, you're like the only person here who's like just having fun playing. Like, you know, I mean, obviously everyone's having fun playing, but it was like, they just weren't expecting like the one person in the room to be like, I have no responsibility.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm just
put
here
your
to
game
make sure,
in front of me.
Make sure nobody leaves with a cash drawer.
We got a year to develop one.
Oh, I was supposed to stop him?
Oh, no.
Okay.
As long as I end up with a copy of the game.
Yeah.
I got accused of taking monetary gains, abusing my position when they gave me the Shadowgate book.
Oh,
mostly Todd was just giving me a hard time.
Like, he does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care. I want this book. And you can't have it. You can't have it. It's beautiful and I want it.
Yeah.
So, Protospiel was amazing. Please stay tuned.
Two thumbs up.
Follow us on the Meeple Game Society on Facebook. It's on the shirt. We are coordinating events locally. We're going to have, we have a meetup once a month on the south side of South Bend. Next month, we are going to have a 3-day event in the same location we always have it, which you will find on Meeple on the Facebook page. And we're going to have raffle for gift cards and games and some prizes and things like that. And it is 100% free to attend. So you should check us out. That way, if you're ever in town or you feel like driving, yep, come and see us. We are pretty fun. I mean, everybody but me, right?
Yeah, I would say pretty is the right word to use. We're not too fun.
Oh, I thought you said I was pretty. Oh, God. It's exciting. It's like, sweet. That's the nicest thing he's ever said to me in my life.
Yeah. Also didn't mean it.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Moving on, out of, now that we're out of Protospiel, I just want to shout out like a local business that is opening up this week, but they will be in existence after this week. It's just the grand opening is Friday. It is the Waypoint V Arcade on Friday the 28th. They are having a big grand opening. There will be a couple different news stations there, some radio stations there. It's located on 620 West Edison Road in Mishawaka. The people there that run that store, I don't know if you want to call it a store, the arcade, I've met the owners. I'm sort of friends with one of them, mostly vicariously, like through other friends, but I've met the guy, I've gotten to know him, and they are super awesome people, very friendly, very accommodating. I got to go in and play some of the games early. They are amazing. It is free roam virtual reality. Like you're in a huge room running around shooting zombies or aliens.
It's a holodeck.
It is a holodeck. It is amazing. And they even have the room with the treadmills.
Oh my God, it is a holodeck.
And you're running, then like that one, you're like really running around and shooting stuff. It's
I
want to
come
so cool.
Bad.
They've got the largest VR.
It is going in the country. It is going to be the largest VR facility in the country, and they have like side areas where you can play like Beat Saber, like you know other Oculus games. But you're in a large room. You've got like a lot of space. You're not just in your living room, worried about whacking your cat, you know, or a toddler as you're swinging around.
Like, my biggest excitement for it, honestly, is just that I have, not purposely, but, like, I have yet to do any VR.
I hadn't until I went to this place.
Exactly. And so this is going to be my first experience with VR, is top-notch. Like, it's insane.
It really is, too. Yeah.
I saw some VR many years ago when I was traveling abroad, and, I mean, it was cool, but basically, you were on a roller coaster looking out over like a volcano, like. But it was definitely lower quality graphics, mm-hmm, and it wasn't really interactive. And you could look down and around, but chance to play a game with high quality graphics in a VR system,
yeah,
and like holding
phenomenal
things,
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah.
That just blows my mind. I really want to do.
I'm telling you,
it's the future, man.
It's so good. It's so good. And you look around and you see your friends, and we're all like shooting zombies off each other, you know. And it's really good.
Oh,
it's really
or
good.
Just shooting each other.
Or just shooting each other. I didn't.
That's fun.
I didn't get to play. They've got like a versus.
Oh,
mode.
Like a team deathmatch.
Yes.
Nice.
And I didn't get to play that one, but the some of the survival ones where you've got like a half an hour of like running, and that's the other thing, right? Is it's not like this is like a 5-minute thing.
Yeah.
Like you get in and you're playing that game for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And
sounds like a workout.
Oh, it is a workout.
I know,
but it's,
that's why I want to go to.
I had one friend.
That'll be our gym.
I had one friend that was so tired by the end of it. He's like just hip firing because he didn't even. And I'm like hiding behind a barricade and I'm holding the gun up, shoot like this. And I'm sure we all look like idiots, right?
Oh,
but.
They've got to have like a camera set up,
yes,
in that room just recording what,
yes,
the raw looks like.
Yeah.
There's one guy in there who's got a little cell phone up and he's pranking everyone. They
have
no
idea.
Yeah.
It's so good. So anyways, if you're local or semi-local and you're at all interested, find them on Facebook. It's the Waypoint VRcade. Super nice people. And it's an awesome experience.
Like the letter V, the letter R, and then Cade.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
That is correct. So that's what I got. Now, you guys got some Kickstarter stuff we're going to talk about. Oh, wait, no. We're going to do news
one
first.
One more thing. Yeah.
News first.
So one more thing. Go on.
we made a review of the game Villainous that is not out yet, but we filmed it like 2 months ago.
Something like that.
At least, or a month and a half, right?
Whatever.
I will not spoil my review of the game, but we joked about Disney reaching out and eventually, because they own everything, a certain IP was going to pop up.
Yep. No, we just, we talk in the video for quite a while. We don't, I mean, it's a review of something else, but there's a nice little bit where we talk about, like, obviously, eventually, we're going to get Marvel Villainous.
Marvel
like,
Villainous.
They own that IP. Why would they not do that? And we've talked about it for a while, off and on, of like, what would they do, blah, blah, blah. And then I literally just saw a couple days ago the announcement. I don't know how old the announcement is now, but I saw a couple days ago, I've seen the picture of the box, and they've leaked the three of the five.
I think so.
That you're going to be able to be.
I think so.
And I'm so excited.
So Marvel Villainous is coming out. I'm going to have to try it.
Yep. Because you love Villainous.
Don't spoil.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
Don't spoil the review. It's not up yet.
Sorry.
Don't spoil it. And another Marvel IP that is coming out, they're doing, unless I got pranked, but I saw it today. Well, not like physically saw it, but I saw it online. So it had to be true. Is Marvel Splendor.
Yeah.
And it's Thanos, and it looks like you're getting the Infinity Gems. I didn't get, like, super...
That's so weird to me, though, because you have, like, I have five of the red Infinity Gems.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that how Splendor works?
I am all powerful,
I only played Splendor once because I didn't like it very much.
There have to be some rules changes.
But, like, I just don't understand the theming idea there. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get all five, but I did get three red and two blue, so are we going to be able to work with that?
We had a good time. I was angry. Is that, I forget what the red one is. But yeah, it's Marvel, everything.
Reality.
So I had a real good time.
Yep.
Reality good time. That's no good joke there.
No, it was horrible.
We'll edit that one out.
Yeah, let's...
You know what's not horrible, though? Kickstarter.
Kickstarter is kind of horrible.
Well, that didn't work at all.
No, it's horrible for my bank account.
Exactly. Okay. Especially right now, they're coming out with Marvel United... Which looks like it's designed to drain my coffers.
Yeah.
So Marvel United, that's the chibi one?
Yeah. It's chibi. Yeah.
It's chibi-esque. It's not as exaggerated as I've seen, but it's cartoony.
It is cartoony. It's a big head, big eyes, tiny body. It's a co-op game. So if you don't like co-op games, which I've seen some Marvel games are co-op, but I've seen most of them where they're not.
Sure.
So... It's a fun-looking game. Unfortunately, it comes with a lot of expansions, and all the expansions are Kickstarter exclusive, and they all cost more than the base set.
Man. I talked about it last week. I hate it when they do that. Like, I just want...
Yeah,
click
the buy-all button.
I want to click this button, and I just want it all. Tell me how much it costs. You get a deal, right? And that's fine.
You actually... Because a lot of times they do that. You literally can't do that with this one, right? They're all add-ons.
You have to add them right?
All
add-ons.
That's crazy.
And I hate it. Like, I automatically just don't back
that's crazy.
Because of that.
But so this one, it comes with the basic set where... And with all the stretch goals, I can't even remember how many of the heroes I've got.
I got... Dude...
He is prepared.
It took a whole book.
I counted. Hold on. There are two. No, I'm just kidding. There were 38 heroes. 38 heroes. I did not write down how many villains there were because I didn't care that much. But the heroes mattered.
I saw Red Skull. That was about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's the...
It comes with Taskmaster, Red Skull, and someone else. I don't remember the third one.
Sure. But then there's the Infinity Gauntlet.
It's called the Exclusive Infinity Gauntlet Expansion for... Twice the cost. It's like $90.
No. $90. It comes with it.
It's the best deal. Yes.
It's 60. So the so that's probably 30.
So it's 30.
So that's all right then.
Yeah,
but
so it's not as bad.
Not as bad.
But you can spend more for the expansions.
Oh, that expansion looks like it changes the whole game.
And it really does. I gotta be honest. I wasn't interested in this game very much, mostly because of that art style. I like watching the gameplay. I was like, man, that looks fun. You know, like,
so if it plays anything like Arcadia Quest, have you ever played Arcadia Quest?
No, I've watched it.
Arcadia Quest is really a lot of fun.
Sure. Right. I was just going to say that with the base game, I was like, man, this isn't really grabbing me. Like, probably because of the art style, the gameplay looks cool.
But then they did
that Infinity thing looks incredible. I was like, man, this makes the game look so much more fun.
And then they grabbed me by saying, by the way, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I had to get my Groot on.
It's really awkward when you do get your Groot on, though. I'm going to just warn everybody.
Oh, boy. I'm a white boy.
And you know, something that also that actually really stood me about that, I wrote it all down. That game says it plays in 40 minutes?
Yeah.
That was unexpected. That was, I was happy to hear that. It's a lie.
I believe it.
Really?
Okay,
they're almost always lying.
They're not counting setup time.
Sure.
Tell you that.
But it looks somewhat simple compared to other games I like to play. So okay. I could see it being a 40-minute game. Of course, it may not be when you have four players.
Exactly, yeah.
And then they also have the Tales of Asgard. So,
Oh yeah,
that's what, three expansions on this thing.
Right. It's and there's going to be more.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there will be.
It's still going. And again, it's going strong.
Still going strong. They're still going to come out with more stretch goals, and they're probably going to hit those stretch goals you have to pay for, which always suck.
I
know. Have to pay for them.
I know.
You don't have to, guys.
You kind of do. You do. It's it. You're in or you're out, man. There's no middle.
Yeah.
You're in or you're out.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm probably not going to get it, but only because I backed Return of Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah. That's an investment.
Yeah, baby. That one looks so good.
And its Pledge Manager opened up today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, look, all these other things I need to spend all my money on.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
No, he's right. It is a need. Okay. You must. It's required.
It is.
It is required. Okay, so moving on from Marvel.
Yes.
Marvel Alliance.
We'll just skip straight from Marvel over to Batman.
Do it.
Because it's another...
Yeah, huge.
I don't want to say money grab because I don't think that that's fair. And money grab is derogatory. But it is going to make so much money.
It is going to make money. Especially since it's part of an existing system called the Adventure System.
Is it it's not Monolith, or is it somebody else?
No, this is IDW.
Okay. Yeah, so they did like
the Adventure Universal System. And you can mix and match them. You can say, hey, I want to do Ninja Turtles and Batman.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing that now.
I kind of want to do Ninja Turtles and Batman, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically the same person.
I have Ninja Turtles. I have the Ninja Turtles game.
Well, then you need to buy this.
Whoa, no. You need to buy this if you're a fan of the 90s.
It's the
Batman
90s animated series.
It's technically called Batman the Animated Series Adventure Shadows of the Bat.
I think I can only play it or get it if like Kevin Conroy himself would like come run the game.
Right? Mark Hamill just doing one little thing as Joker. I'd be like, you got my money.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks really cool. I managed to dodge the Batman Gotham City Chronicles Kickstarter.
I did too. It was too expensive.
So expensive. So expensive.
Yeah, this one wasn't bad.
Not as bad. No.
Yeah, this is not nearly as bad. It's a different company.
Uh-huh. And it has replayability like crazy. You get 8 episodes, basically. Actual episodes from the series that you get to play through. And each episode is a campaign. So it's 20 actual games in the campaign, plus 4 interchangeable battle scenarios. Mm-hmm. So you can constantly mix and match and change out which villains you want
to
play with.
And I'm not gonna lie, like sometimes I used to get like put off by like, only 20 things.
I know.
And then it's like, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm lucky I will play a game 20 times.
Yeah,
if I'm lucky, I play
that 340 board game mark.
Yeah. No, now it's
don't
where
you out me out here.
We have
don't
a game
out me
night.
In front of my friends.
I'm probably close.
You're not far.
We have a game night, and almost every single game night, it's a new game that none of us played. And I'm like, you know what? At one point, I got to get back to Pandemic Legacy. And actually get through past March.
And some of that's my fault because I'm part of that, and I don't love Pandemic.
Even the Legacy? Okay.
It's fine. I mean, we're so early in that it's still just Pandemic.
Oh, okay.
We're just in March.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you guys have won twice, that's 2 games, huh?
Yeah.
So. Yes, we've won twice.
Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that I like hate Pandemic. It's just like, oh, we could play Lords of Hellas, or oh, we could play Hunt for the Ring, or
comparable
Nemesis, or
or Batman the Animated Series
or
Adventure.
Batman the Animated Series Adventure.
Yeah,
so
no,
it's,
it looks cool
it's tough. But that seriously looks really good.
Oh, yeah. The miniatures look fabulous, like,
and so
look
easy to paint.
Yes,
the TMNT ones are really good too.
Fantastic. Yeah. And basically, if you're a fan of the Animated Series, you got to get this.
You got to do it,
and you got to do it online because then you get Alfred as a exclusive and Batman duplicate, which is the robot Batman,
who looks awesome.
Who looks awesome.
Now I didn't look. Did you see if it had like a retailer pledge? Find out. Check it out. Check it out and see if it does, because you can do what I do sometimes is wimp out and then beg your game store to back it.
That's true.
And if then, it's actually like a super good game, they might.
And then email Tim at Tim at.
Yeah. Tim at theboardgamerundown.spencer.
I feel left out.
You threw me under that bus.
I got you.
No, you're driving the bus. You're not left out. You're driving the bus over me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So.
Hashtag game.
I knew the big ones were going to be covered. So I got a couple small ones. I should point out, I'm not big on Kickstarter. I've talked to you guys a little bit about this. I am poor. So I tend to avoid the temptation of
you have
looking.
To.
We're board gamers. We're all poor. We're all poor.
I'm more poor.
We're board game rich and board game poor.
But so I don't really mess with Kickstarter that much. So this is my first time really trying to do research and be like, oh man, what does this mean? Oh, how do I find these answers? Like, there was one game where I was like, how many players does it play? I couldn't figure it out. But so I'm going to start with a small one here. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is a little filler, little thing called Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. I love that name.
I love that name as well. It has already picked my interest.
Are we talking PhD or?
No, we're talking like
doctor of journalism.
We're talking like I don't even know what to say, like the Victorian era. Like they'll tell you like. So the whole point of the game, right, is it's kind of like Guess What There's More, or what's that game called? But Wait, There's More.
Okay.
You know, it's like that kind of idea. Yeah. So you're selling each other on things, and what it is one person is sick with some horrible disease, and the thing that's a little different about this is the disease has icons on it that have to match the cards you're playing, right? So your cures have to technically make sense, you know, whatever. So they have that, and then it goes around the table, and everyone else plays cards matching those symbols and being like, oh, you've got blood in your eyeball, huh? Well, try cocaine, you know? And you're just like, and you're pitching you're like, trust me, I'm a doctor. You know?
Right,
right. And then it's whoever pitches the best cure, you know, that makes no sense. And I tend to stay away from those kind of games. I love that kind of interaction.
Yeah,
but
right.
It wears off, you know?
None of my friends like those kind of games, so I never get to play them.
Okay.
You're wrong. One of your friends.
Who could that be?
Does like that kind of game.
No, he meant it, none of his friends.
Because if I could... that's true. One of your hangers-on does like that kind of game. No, I love any kind of game where you are BSing as much as possible, right?
The reason I stay away from those is because I'm so bad at bluffing and so bad at doing all those things. But like in games like this where it doesn't matter,
right?
I do have a good time. I just haven't played very many of them.
So don't sell yourself short, right? Because you have the personality to spin those.
But I instantly got on because of that name. Just trust me, I'm a doctor. And then the theme, the one thing is the artwork is purposely that era. It's almost gross-esque. It's not like, ugh, you know, but it's like, man, that's
off-putting.
Yeah, that is an era piece right there. You know? So, you know, you have to be ready for that. But you can check it out. And so that was the first one. It's a nice little filler.
I'm going to look that up.
I think that is the one that I got that does not have too long left. I think that's the one. So,
okay, so look it up soon.
Okay, here's a nice bigger one. Uh-oh. You guys see Danger Park?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on. So Danger Park was, it really had me at first because it had the word cooperative in there somewhere. I don't remember where. Turns out, not cooperative at all. What it is, it's one of those games where you're working together to do something.
Okay.
Cooperative.
But then there's one winner, and you all hate each other. Like,
sure.
So,
like every game we play.
The whole, you know, too much about it is not too deep, right? But the basic idea is you're building a theme park, right?
Okay.
And the park is constantly falling apart on you.
I love this already.
And so the whole idea is you have patrons walking around and trying to do the rides, but the rides are failing. You have patrons puking on the rides.
Can a dinosaur eat them?
Wrong
game.
I'm sorry. No. So there's like regular patrons, there's sick patrons, there's vomit, mechanical, trash, grease, flooding, electrical, pests, and gas. And all those things are infesting your park. And so you guys are trying to, you claim rides and you add them to the park. But that ride is yours now. You have to take care of that ride.
Sure, you're maintaining it.
So people can like try to be like, send the sick people to your ride to hurt your ride. And,
got it.
And then if enough people group together, they become a giant meeple instead, and they're moving together as like a horde of people. So they're worth way more points, but also if any of them get sick and stuff like that, it can be way worse kind of stuff.
This sounds really interesting.
But I like the whole idea. I just wish it was cooperative, honestly. I heard this whole game and I was like, oh man, we're working together to build this park, but everything's going wrong. And it's like, no, on top of that, I hate you.
Right.
Also,
right.
Which makes no sense.
Wait, were you talking to me or were you talking about the game experience?
I broke character.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I liked that idea. You know, the artwork was pretty cool.
I have to check that out.
You know, simple square cards for the rides that you're putting out there and stuff.
That sounds way more affordable than the other ones we talked about.
I got one more.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Rival Restaurants, not a new game. There's a second. What do they call that on Kickstarter? See, I'm new. They're like,
oh, a relaunch?
Yeah,
relaunch. Sure.
Or
it's
a second
like,
edition, a reprint?
Well, it's like they're coming out with an expansion, and you can get the base.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. You just said it. Well. It's an expansion.
Sure, but you can also get the base.
Yeah, they always
like
release
that.
The base with it.
Okay, okay.
They don't always. There's one game that disappointed. Yeah, Western Legends did an expansion, but they didn't have an option to buy the base game.
Oh, are you listening, Western Legends?
I was so, don't
we know you
colossal games. They are really
they're
good.
Huge.
They're colossal.
That was the. See, I didn't use the word.
Right, because they're huge with this. Yeah, because colossal with a C. I said it with a C, and they're spelled with a K. So
oh,
it's different.
You are clever.
See, sometimes not.
So, this game is basically just a real-time cooking game, right? Where it's like you each have your own player board, which is a restaurant, which is asymmetric. You have your own ability. You also have a like head chef or an owner. I don't know what it's called. That has their own ability, and then it's just constant real-time moving around the restaurant, getting the food that you need before other people get the food you need. But I just thought it looked really cool because of the real-time asymmetric stuff, which I like. Also, there's no pauses at all, I guess, which solves the problem. Some people hate that, and some people love it because, like, so you, I don't think, love real-time, but I know that you also hate downtime.
No, I love real-time.
Oh, you love real-time. Okay, yes. Yeah, so one of the big things with this game
and
was...
And I don't love downtime.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things with this game is it doesn't stop.
Right.
There is literally no downtime. You start the game, and then you're playing until you lose. Like, or win.
I like it.
It's lose because I'm playing... One of the things that really got me was they had a little expansion on there. I don't know if this really got me. They had an expansion called Oh Snap. And it's a guy with a bunch of food on his hand. And it's like there are event decks.
Is that like the... Is it a...
Yes. Okay. So there's like event decks now. And that's one of the events that come out. And everyone has to lose half of their ingredients.
Ah, rounded down. I get it.
Because it's inedible. It's like,
I love it.
It's so funny to me. But the guys have a great sense of humor. You know,
sure.
I watched their video, I looked at the game, great sense of humor, good looking game, and just real time asymmetric grabs me.
I love it.
And also, just because I'm weird, I've been looking for a good, like, cooking board game for a while. I haven't played Kitchen Rush. I know that's a thing.
Sure.
I haven't played many cooking games at all, and I like that idea of, like, I don't know if you know the video game Overcooked.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want that as a board game. And I haven't found it yet.
You need to play with me How to Serve Man.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of that one.
It's a cookbook.
You are aliens. Yes, it is. It is based on a Twilight Zone episode.
And
basically, you are aliens on a celebrity cooking show, and you are cooking humans.
Oh, okay.
So it is How to Serve Man.
Wow.
So you've got like... The meeples are different colors based on whether you bake them or fry them or boil them.
Okay, yeah.
We're gonna play it. It's hilarious. The names of all the recipes are amazing. It's a little set collection, you know, worker placement.
Okay.
Put your worker here. Put your worker by the fryers, and you turn your raw humans into fried meeples, you know, kind of thing.
Sure.
So super fun. You're talking about real time cooking. I'm like, I do that every day. I'm a stay at home dad.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I'm not even a stay at home dad. I was doing that today. Like, load the dishwasher. Do this.
Yeah, can we turn that into a game where I have to do that and then deal with the kid with a dirty diaper running around?
I'm genuinely surprised that hasn't been a thing, really.
That's home my life. Calling now.
Really? Yeah. It's not that it's not a thing. It's just you need it to be fun.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No. I want them to suffer like I have suffered.
You will all suffer like Spencer has suffered.
Running outside to get the kid to the bus with the other one with diarrhea all over me. I'm like, that's suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two actions.
I think you get some negative victory points for that.
I had one more.
Okay.
But I wanted to do this one last for the Kickstarter because it's a new group. They're called AP Games. And I tried to do some research on the four guys who are involved, but I couldn't figure out any information on them online. But the game looks decent. It looks like it's been well made. So it's not yet funded. It's got another 20 days, I think.
Okay.
If you're interested in helping
What's the game called?
It's called Turris.
Okay.
You think it's called Turris.
No, it's T-U-R-R-I-S. Mm-hmm. And if you are interested in helping a new group get off the mat, why not give it a look?
So what's the game?
The game is, it's a worker placement game. It's really deep in lore. But essentially, there are gods who are attacking humanity. And in order to defend themselves, humanity has developed this giant Babylon-esque tower. And the players build this tower semi-cooperatively, because as you build parts of it, it gives everyone a benefit. And you build this this tower to defend yourself against the gods.
Okay.
And you have these scouts that will move around to do all the different jobs, but the gods move around and try to kill or move your scouts. So it's you versus each other versus the game.
Nice.
Kind of deal.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds really interesting.
And the art was actually really good.
I was about to say, I purposely didn't look it up too much because I knew you were going to say something. I was like, you know, oh, educate me. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I did click on the page just to look at the art. It's
sure.
gorgeous.
It is.
Nice. Oh, man. All I was right. like, whoo, that's pretty.
Turris. T-U-R-R-I-S?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So, AP Games, if you're interested.
I like, if you can find, like, the little guys, right? You know,
exactly.
and help them get a game made.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's got good art. I mean, I can't think of any game that sounds like that, right?
So. No, it sounds unique. It sounds fun.
And looks pretty.
Yeah. I'm going to now.
It does look pretty.
So the thing is, other than our Kickstarter segment, I've been really good about staying away from it.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, between your games and Turris,
uh-huh.
I'm going to have to, like, really give them some hard looks. And, like, make sure somebody in the group is, like, if I don't get it, maybe so-and-so will get it. I know you're poor, so I won't bother you about it.
Thank you. Someone's listening.
He's not poor. So, anyways, that's our Kickstarter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we've enlightened you.
Yep. Check them out.
Check them out. Because it's always fun. I mean, everybody knows about the new CMON one, right? You know, like the big ones. IDW is a big dog on the block. But it's nice to find the little guys, right?
Yeah.
And find some unique ones. There's one called WrestleNomicon. That funded last year, and the whole stuff in China is like kind of delayed it a little bit.
Yeah, that's been touching quite a few of them actually.
But it is basically a dueling card game where someone is Cthulhu and someone is the King in Yellow, and it is like a WWE wrestling match as you're playing cards going back and forth.
Wow.
The game may be terrible, but the art looked really good, and it just looked really fun, you know,
sure.
like really funny, and I'm like, I don't care, they can have some money, because I want to see this game.
And they slapped Cthulhu on it, so they're going to sell some.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, I'm a girl for that, so it just happens. So our topic this week that we're going to discuss,
mm-hmm.
I thought it would be interesting to talk about some games that maybe... You're embarrassed to say you've never played?
I'm not embarrassed.
Well, okay. Or just like, what, you've never played that?
Sure. Yeah. I get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually waiting because I made a little list, and I was like, I bet most of their games I haven't played either because I'm trying so hard. I'm trying to play games.
Well, then I'll just start us off.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I want to start off one. I have played it one time, and that was like when I was 12.
Okay, wait, no, hold on. We should just make a rule right now, though.
Uh-huh. All right.
The game we talk about, if somebody else has played it or owns it,
uh-huh.
we need to like make sure that we prioritize
oh,
and play that
played?
Game. Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Carcassonne.
You know,
wow.
Oh my God.
I've played that one. I own that one.
It's not because I don't want to play it. I just
we have
never
a friend.
Get the chance.
We have a friend in our game group that has like everything for Carcassonne.
Oh, and he never brings it.
He is dying to bring it because he doesn't stop talking about it. So
then get him to bring it.
Yeah. I will be like, Jonathan, Carca, and it will like ding dong, like he's already at your house, he's got it, and it's ready to go. Jonathan would totally play. I mean, I've got like Carcassonne and The River and then one other expansion.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
I had some expansions that came with it, right? Like Inns and Cathedrals and
sure,
one
sure,
other
sure.
The only one I ever played one time was a base set. It was at a friend's house, and this was one of my first ventures into board gaming, and so I don't remember pretty much anything about
it's,
it.
Sure.
It's pretty
solid.
Fun. Yeah, it's
yeah,
solid game.
Solid game. The
it's
only
fun.
Thing with Carcassonne is a lot of people house rule that thing where you draw your tiles at the end instead of the beginning of your turn or something so that you can think about. There's some
oh,
kind of
sure.
house rule a lot of people do. But yeah.
It
really
just speeds
solid,
the game up
game.
A little bit. Yeah, but it's really good. It's a lot of fun.
I'm actually going to go next. I don't know if you guys expect to, but because mine is Catan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Carcassonne.
So we're going from Carcassonne. Yeah. Wow. We're going from Carcassonne to Catan or Catan.
Catan.
Real fancy.
Well, we'll just have you invite into my group. I've got five-player Catan.
Yeah, this one's technically a semi-cheat because I still haven't played Catan, but recently I played the Game of Thrones Catan.
Yes.
And I played Starfarers of Catan.
Yeah, you came to my house and played. I was going to say, like, wait a minute.
Those were both within the last, like, 2 months. Like, so
right.
Those were my first
but
Catan.
But you haven't played straight up Catan.
But I have never played normal Catan.
See, I've never played any of the expansions to Catan.
Oh, okay.
I own one of them, but I've never played it.
Not the. Wait, which one do you own?
The 5-6 player expansion?
Oh, that doesn't count as an expansion. Yeah.
Like, Catan is definitely the
I thought you meant, like,
game.
Barbarians and Knights.
No,
or,
no,
or,
never played any of those.
Or,
like, I have a couple games listed, right? But Catan is definitely the biggest one where every time I bring it up, people go, really? You know, like, even my wife has played Catan, and she hasn't played, like, anything. Like,
well, let me tell you. Original Catan, I don't care what the seasoned and veteran and bitter gamers say, it is a good game.
Oh, okay.
It's totally solid.
Well, like, I've played the Game of Thrones, right? So it's like, I've played Catan, it's just take away the North Wall, right? Isn't that like, because...
Take away a few things, but
sure,
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the card play, the resource
I
thing,
will tell you, though, that like, Starfarers of Catan...
Oh, yeah.
Like, berries.
Sure.
Starfarers is really so good.
Oh, I have to play that.
Yeah, it's really good.
We have to play Starfarers. It is fantastic. There are adventure or event cards. Encounter cards. Yeah. And there's like a... There can be like a push your luck kind of element, and you've got like make a decision and you follow the tree down depending on like, you know, do you do this or do you do that? And we're like, every time there was even a chance, we're like, do it! You gotta
do exactly.
It! Yeah, it was, we got like way into it.
It was
maybe two into it, but it was really good.
Yeah, with the big 3D ships you have.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Starfarers of Catan.
Yeah.
But yes, we will play like regular straight Catan sometime.
I mean, you know, I'll probably be like, wish this was Starfarers while playing it, but
you might. You might.
But I'll give it a shot.
No, and play like 3-player. It'll go, can go relatively quick. And then that way, if you don't like it, you're like, meh. So it's done.
Sure.
But Catan, it is a classic evergreen game for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to my first one. And I was looking at like the BGG, like top 100. And I'm like, okay, I know a lot of people talk about these games.
Oh.
And I've never played. And one that I've always been interested in, and I've just never even really had the opportunity to play is Orléans.
Oh, yeah. I've never either.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Have you played
that?
I've not played it, but I've seen it sitting on a shelf at my game store that I always go to, and just never take it off the shelf.
It looks super cool, right? Like
it does.
Bag building, and there's like some deck building and some hand management. And I mean, it's a classic game. I always hear people talk positively about it. And I'm like, I just kind of need to play it, but I don't have it. And I don't know if any of my friends have it.
The thing is, I've never had a chance to play it with someone who's played it.
Oh, sure.
And I don't want to have to go through the rules and get them all wrong.
Sure. Sure.
Yep.
So Orléans is my first one. I've got two other ones to talk about.
Yeah, me too.
So what's your next one?
My next one is Power Grid.
Oh. I've never played Power Grid either.
Oh, man.
I'm the only one that's played a game?
High five!
Yeah, it was good. So yeah, Power Grid. You like Power Grid?
I liked it, and I really thought I was going to hate it. Not gonna lie, I was playing that game and it's very thinky, mathy.
Oh, I love
and
those.
Like, yeah, right. I don't. and it's mean. You know, it's a pretty mean game, and I tend not to like any of that stuff. And I played it, and I was like, man, this really came together well. And I don't know if it's just because of how, you know, the resource, like it's very thematic, I guess, right? And that's I've talked about this. That's like the biggest thing that brings me to the game is how
like
good that theme
like
and
theme.
That artwork. Do they build the world for me?
Sure.
You know? And they really did a great job. All the cards made sense. The way you're connecting your lines made sense. The resources, our resources at least. I don't know if they normally come like this, but they looked like the resources. You know.
Sure.
So, yeah, I had a great time. I've only played it twice, I think.
Sure.
But I mean, I had a good time. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
So Power Grid, I haven't played it either.
Grab it.
Yeah,
gonna have to get a copy.
Levi owns it. That's
Levi.
How I play
okay,
it,
so yeah, we'll bother
we'll
Levi for
bother
that.
Him.
That sounds good. All right, so now it's yours.
Man,
you got to do all the talking because you haven't played the game.
I know. So this one, there's no way you guys haven't played, right? I put this on the list just because I think I might be the only person on the planet who hasn't played any of these.
Am I gonna flip the table?
Any of the Azul games? No.
Azul?
Yeah, I haven't played any of those games because they were the number one thing in the world. And
don't
everyone...
sell yourself short. I've only played it one time.
Okay. Yeah.
Azul is fine.
Okay. So
I prefer Sagrada.
I prefer Sagrada.
I don't like Sagrada.
I played Sagrada, and I was like, I like them both. I like Sagrada better.
They're very different.
Okay.
They came out at the same time.
I haven't played Azul because I don't like Sagrada.
No.
Because I don't like abstract strategy, right?
Well, it's still abstract strategy.
If you don't like abstract strategy, you might not like Azul.
Yeah, so what did I just say? Man, the theme really helps me with the game. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty.
But now there's the stained glass version.
Sure.
And they're coming out with...
Sintra. Yeah, the third one with the weird angle pieces, right?
Yeah.
The third one.
And ones with mats where you have to put certain things on to get bonus. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, they're getting deeper.
I will always try it, but, like, I don't need Azul in my collection. Enough other people have it.
Sure.
It's okay. I'm not going to pull it off the shelf and be like, hey, man, like, we got to play Azul. But if I'm hanging out and somebody wants to play Azul, I'll play it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going
to... Yeah, I'm really glad to hear this, because it was like, dude, it came out. It was the best game on the planet. Everyone needed to own it. And I was just looking at it, and I was like, I'm good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine that I haven't played it is what I'm picking up.
It's also fine that you haven't played it.
Yeah, okay. Good to hear.
You don't feel you have to play every game out there.
I kind of feel like that sometimes.
There are too many of them.
Kind of feel like
I need to play every game out there, which is why I'm friends with Tim, because he needs to buy every game that's out there.
I feel that need
interesting
sometimes.
Relationship.
I have this weird compulsion.
Yeah, I'm just like, you buy that yet? I need to play it.
Right.
No,
when's
it
coming?
You've got a problem, because I used to watch so much anime when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I never bought it because I was very good at manipulating my brother and sister to buying it.
There you go.
And I just watched it off of them.
Yeah.
Perfect. So now you just... Well, to be fair, my collection was huge before we started gaming together. So
yeah, but so Tourist sounds pretty cool.
It does sound really cool. We get my phone out.
Yes.
So my next one is a game that I really, 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 really want to play because it sounds like the kind of game I love. Cosmic Encounter.
Oh my god, I've
never
that.
Played Cosmic Encounter.
Never played Cosmic
Encounter.
Wow,
that is such a Tim game.
Which version?
I don't care. Any version. It's been around since the 70s.
It has. Wow.
But,
and
like, there's
third
bluffing,
or fourth,
there's negotiation,
yeah.
There's, like, exploration.
I mean, that's the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
Bluffing, negotiation.
That's my game.
Yeah, that's Tim.
That's my game.
My sister played once, and her special power was if she whines about something, we have to figure out how to make it happen. I don't ever want to see that mechanic again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't love Cosmic Encounter, but it's because, as stated previously, I see myself as sucking at bluffing and negotiating stuff. I'm the guy that goes to a car dealership and I'm like, how much for the car? And they're like, oh, $100,000. And I'm like, sold. And everyone's like, it's not worth that, Dan. I'm like, yeah, but he said
it's a Volkswagen dealer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, they said $100,000.
I figured that was the price.
Yeah.
Well, what am I gonna do? Tell them that's not the price.
Yeah.
I have not played any of the
avoid conflict.
See, I've not played any of the recent versions of Cosmic Encounters. I played one, I guess, in the 90s.
Oh.
But I mean, I loved it, and there was a version, a variation where you can play as two powers that are random, but that made a really cool interplay between the powers, because sometimes it didn't work, but sometimes they were freaking amazing.
Nice. Sounds balanced.
Yeah. No. This wasn't about balance. This is about crushing my sister.
Listen. If I'm having a good time, like, even if I'm losing, I'm not worried about the balance.
I know. You just write in your journal.
As long as it's right.
Well,
crying.
Each individual power is balanced.
Right, but
when
you combine
the synergy,
two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One where you get to add to your attack and then multiply to your attack, that's really unbalanced, but so awesome.
Yeah, nice. I've played the newest or second newest version. You know, the artwork's cool. I will say I don't, maybe in the older versions, there's not really exploration from what I remember.
No, there's no
exploration. Yeah, you said that.
In the description.
Yeah, no. I mean, you go from your...
In the description.
You put your people from your planet to the other people's planet.
To the other person's planet.
But I mean, it's just a ship that sits
it.
There.
Yeah. It's just, you got this, like, wormhole thing that you move over there, and you put people around the rim to defend, and your people funnel into the other end.
And then it's just card
Sounds
play.
Like Twilight Imperium. Except you can't move the, can't move the wormhole, but there you gotta guard them.
But cool game. Just maybe a little too much bluffing.
I need to play it.
I played that game all the time with my family.
Yeah.
I need to play it. So what's your third one?
My third and final one.
Wow me. No pressure.
Okay, this one is a classic, and there's going to be a reason
that
I've never played this, and I doubt either of you have played this.
Okay.
How classic is it?
Dune.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No way.
I own the reprint.
You own it already?
I own it. I own the reprint. I have not played it yet.
He's excited. My best friend. Wait a minute.
Here's the thing with Dune. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to take some time to play.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it. I did a little research and I was like, that looks complicated.
It's going to take some time to play. But the politics and the... you don't even need to be able to bluff.
Oh.
But your problem is going to be, you're not going to want to be mean.
Oh, sure.
This game is...
really mean.
Oh, it's... I... Yes. Yes.
It's Dune. It's Capital. Got to be.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the movie.
Have you read the books?
I haven't seen the movie. No, so I don't know. I literally know nothing about
you're
it.
You're in luck because they're remaking
it. I know. I heard that.
And
yeah.
I'm just in time. I can't wait to see the remake.
Okay.
But I can hear one of the powers of Bene Gesserit get to do. At the beginning of the game, they get to choose...
Master Manipulators.
Which other player they think is going to win and in what round.
Wow.
And if that person wins... they don't win, the Bene Gesserit wins.
Yes.
In that round, you mean? If they win,
if they win in that round.
If they predict correctly.
So, and then you have alliances to help each other out. So
because
if
then
I'm the
Bene
Gesserit
are trying
I'm
to...
I'm trying to help you win in that round.
That would make sense.
But you don't know that I predicted that you're the one winning
that's
in
what
that
I was
round.
Because they could just purposely not win in that round.
So,
okay.
So you don't
have
to be bluffing necessarily.
Or...
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I kind of really want to
So a little background. In the book, the Bene Gesserit basically...
evil space nuns.
Yes. Manipulated like through arranged marriages, like the bloodlines and the genetics to like create Jesus.
Okay.
Space Jesus.
Yep, been there. Relatable situation.
And so...
and then he got out of hand and they realized they couldn't control him.
Oh. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Okay.
The book's a little dry, but if you can get into it, it's super good.
Yep,
it
is.
The politics are... so good. And
first
the game
two books, definitely.
After that you're kind of out there.
Yeah.
But the game really, like, through all the gameplay, like I've been watching videos and I've been reading a lot of the rule book and everything, and it's like the theme is so there. It's like so immersive. Oh. I know, goosebumps just thinking about it. I'm so excited.
Maybe next game night.
So I don't know. It might take longer than that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe next Meeple event.
Yeah. It's gonna be like we're going to need 4 hours at least, like with
just
learning.
To read it.
With learning and playing.
Yeah, are we playing a game or reading the book?
I'll be ready. I'll be ready when we play it. I'll be ready. But I want to have, like, I've got people in mind that I'm inviting so that we can have, like, the most backstabby.
I hope I'm one of those people.
Well, you are.
Yes. Now.
No, you were. You already were because I knew you'd love the source material anyway.
Oh,
so,
I do.
So you're already in, whether you wanted to be or not. But yeah, so Dune. Nope, looking forward to it. We will play it.
Cool.
What you got for
you
us?
You only got one left, right?
I got one left.
So I got three left, so I'm just going to go through all three.
Do it. Let's do it.
Just really quick, because the rest of these aren't like classics. It's not going to be like, Dan didn't play that. The rest are games that I just... am annoyed I haven't played.
Okay.
Is the kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, first of all is every time I see Galaxy Trucker, I'm like, man, I really want to play it.
I'm with you there. I've never played it,
okay.
And I want to play it.
Yeah.
I own it. Let's play it.
Yeah,
it's
I see
fantastic.
It all the time. I'm like, I love that idea.
It's hilarious.
It's so much fun. So, yeah, I don't know.
You are right. Yeah. It is so much fun.
Okay.
It's
and
hilarious.
Every time someone who gets to know me with gaming, they're like, oh, have you played Galaxy Trucker? Right up your alley. I'm like,
oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it just...
bring it.
It just looks fun.
All right, I'll bring my copy of Galaxy Trucker. It's
yeah,
so much fun.
That was a little subliminal messaging there, man. Right. Only someone would bring it.
Or someone. Yep. Nope. It's amazing. It's great.
Next is just, I haven't played either Race or Roll for the Galaxy.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Spencer, calm down. Calm down. That is this man's favorite game.
Really?
Yeah.
I've only played Race once with him, and I've played Roll like 2.5 times.
You know, it's Roll for the Galaxy. It's not my favorite game, but I love it. I've never won it.
Oh, yeah?
Never won it, but I still
I guess
love it.
I should say, technically, I did play one round of it on Steam because it was like a couple bucks.
Your list is invalid.
Yeah, right. No. So technically I did that, but like it didn't really teach me how to play. I was just like, oh, these symbols mean so many things.
Yeah.
The symbols are only intuitive after you've really played the game once. And then you're like, oh, I get them now. It makes sense.
Yeah, you have to be okay like getting stomped your first game or two to get used to it and kind of figure it out. Once you figure it out, it's a fantastic engine builder.
It is.
I'm terrible at it.
It's a tableau builder.
Yes.
That is just... it's the epitome of tableau builders.
Yeah. Want to try it out. Looks fun. That's what most of my things are.
I want to try it.
Looks fun.
And you should be wary. There are a lot of expansions.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. But honestly, I've heard that almost all of them are unnecessary. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. But none of them are... none of them bring it down at all.
Oh, okay.
So... they all make it.
I remember good. That's the game, right? I remember hearing disappointment because a game came out, an expansion came out that was literally called like War, but like all it does is it adds a tiny chance to have a fight every 10 times you play or like something like that.
What I found when it's on the brink of war is it becomes a cold war.
Oh,
so
okay.
So this guy has the ability to take over any planet as long as it's a military planet. So I'm just not playing
not
a military planet.
Military planets. Okay.
But. A Cold War is still a war. It affects how
sure,
I play.
Sure. Like I said, this is just word of mouth, right? What I've heard. So that kind of thing. And my last one is not embarrassing at all because I would say most people haven't played this game. It's just at the top of my list here because it is so mean. It seems so good. And it's Seventh Continent. I want to play Seventh Continent.
I haven't played it yet.
Yeah,
really?
I figured.
No, oh,
you
played
have?
It.
I haven't.
Oh,
he,
you were
he
just bringing
he
up
it.
He. Okay.
Seventh Continent, I would kind of agree with this assessment. It's D&D light with cards.
Okay.
You are playing cards down to explore as you go through basically Australia, the Seventh Continent. And there's a curse on you, and you're trying to get rid of this curse. But the cards have pictures. The artwork you have to pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
Because every time you're on a spot, you can be like, well, I want to go look at that skeleton. Are you sure you really want to go look at that skeleton?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that might, you know, really... backfire.
Well, and I just hear the cool thing about it that I hear is like, so you're talking about that skeleton, right? Well, that skeleton has nothing to do with the mission you're on right now.
Exactly.
But you might play a year later and you're going through your mission, you hear about a skeleton on the island, you're like, I know exactly where that is.
Exactly.
You know, like you learn the map and
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems so cool
there
to me.
There are a million expansions to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm mostly excited because they are either just now or soon, maybe it came out forever ago and I'm behind. Seventh Continent Classic is just now on the website I see where you can just buy for pretty cheap none of the extra bits.
Oh,
like it's
cool.
like I don't remember the price, but I remember Seventh Continent was an endeavor.
Oh,
and this one was pretty cheap.
It was a big Kickstarter.
Because like, it doesn't come with any of the components you need, right? You just get the cards and that's all you need to play.
That's really all
you
need.
So I'm thinking about it because I'm like, man, that just looks so much fun.
It's better solo, I think.
Really?
So how would you compare Seventh Continent to the one scenario we have, one chapter we have played of Tainted Grail? Because I know you said they were similar.
Oh, they are? Okay.
So Tainted Grail, you've got like tarot-sized cards, and as you explore...
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know Tainted Grail was card-based like that.
And you've got minis, and you move them around. The story... So Tainted Grail, if you like theme and immersion, like Tainted Grail is there.
Yeah.
You are deep.
They both have that. They both have the cards playing out where... they connect and you see the map as you're going. Seventh Continent has the ability to save the game. Really weird mechanic, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Tainted Grail does as well.
The way the Tainted Grail does it is differently than the way Seventh Continent does it. Seventh Continent includes that character development. I've got a character who's got these stats and I'm going to develop them up and I'm going to get these powers. That's not so present. In Seventh Continent, you have a character who has a satchel with stuff in it.
Okay.
And the stuff is what you use to develop your character.
Sure,
and that
can
also be skills that you learn. And each of the characters has a deck of different skills, but you may never even run into those skills as you're going through.
Sure. Like, I don't need climbing.
Yeah.
That happens in D&D all the time. Then you start... Everybody just derails
Re-roll
the
character.
Whole. Everybody derails the whole campaign, trying to find a way to use.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's like, dude, you don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, let's just go. But I can
climb
this wall.
I can climb him.
I play with a character who is a knockoff of Lovecraft.
Okay.
And whenever you draw curse cards, something good happens for him.
Oh.
But I wasn't drawing very many curse cards.
You need to go poke that skeleton, man.
Yeah.
I guarantee a curse is popping out of that thing.
Monetize, I've heard that.
Yeah.
To go poke that skeleton? Fair enough.
We might be going the wrong way.
Where do you hang out? Where do you hang out?
With Tim.
It's dark.
But Seventh Continent is a fun game. If you just set it up at home and you want to play at night and you don't want to, you know, make it something that takes forever, you can just Play it up, save it, and go do something.
Because I'm a big fan of Tainted Grail. Like, I haven't gone on and played the next chapter yet, because I'm trying to decide, like, do I want to do it solo and, like, run those two characters? Do I wait for you? Because the story is really amazing.
Well, yeah, really good. Pretty cool. I just remembered Seventh Continent also has a sequel coming out soon, right? It's called Seventh Something Else.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I heard about that. It's like Seventh Ocean or something. Oh. And it's like, so it's a whole different theme. Probably the same system.
See, I have the What Goes Up Must Come Down expansion.
Got it.
Which I haven't actually gotten to yet.
sure.
But yeah, that excites me, because see, Seventh Continent, like, I'm waiting for, like, you know, Seventh Galaxy, right? And it's like a space exploration. Like, that's what
they could do
for,
that.
Kind
they
of
could
stuff.
Do that.
Sure.
And I'm big
sure.
into sci-fi, so.
Right? And Tim, we're accidentally good at predicting things. That would
we are before. Accidentally. Oh, you just
wait,
made it.
Oh,
we
wait
just.
For Seventh Galaxy.
It is now happening. It is
so,
now happening.
So, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year?
We're not allowed to do that anymore. Yeah. But if you ask me, it's always going to be the Bears. That's always my answer.
Oh,
even though it's not
Bears.
Happening. The Bears. So, my last one, I don't expect you guys to have played, because it is so hard to get anymore.
Okay. I designed it.
But the reason. The main reason is at the top of my list is that I have owned this game maybe 5 years and have not played it yet.
Wow. Really on the top of your wall of shame.
It is the pinnacle. Yeah. It is the zenith. It is Glory to Rome.
Oh. I've wanted to play it. I've only heard of it.
I own it. I don't have like the super fancy black box edition. I've got like a clamshell edition, which still like goes for a lot of money. But and I got it like for like $10. Wow. Like somebody was selling it, and I was like, and my sister was like, buy that.
She made
like,
a good move.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, and I bought it, and then it's like, oh, but don't try to learn it on your own. Have somebody teach it to you, because the cards are multi-purpose. You may use this card as a resource. You may play this card, and now it is something that generates resources.
Got it.
You may tuck this card under, and it advances the.
I really like that stuff.
Cards.
That's like Race for the Galaxy.
Oh yeah.
Which is why I really want to try it.
Or the Bloody Inn. Have you played the Bloody Inn?
No.
That's so
funny. Have you played Bloody Inn?
No, it's so funny you bring that up, because I saw that game for the first time, I don't know, a month or two ago, and I was like, that seems really cool. I like that little idea. And then I saw that you gave it like a 10.
I love the Bloody Inn.
And now you're talking about it, and I was like, I gotta try this game.
The Bloody Inn. It is like. Oh, I forget what time period, 1800s, and you're like French innkeepers that you have people that
Les
come
Miserables
in.
Les Miserables here.
You have people that come in and they stay in your inn, and you choose whether to collect their money, like as they rent the room, or maybe you murder them, and then you bury them under other rooms in the inn.
And then, like, so cops show up, and you have to decide, so you might like, kill this cop, like, to hide the... But then more cops are going to show up, and now you have these piles, like, building up.
Or, but maybe you let the... Maybe you let the cops go, because they're going to go to your opponent, the other player's rooms, and maybe they're going to bust them.
Yeah, I saw that, and it looks so funny.
It's super
fun. It's Les Miserables, it's little Sweeney Todd, and we're going to throw in some Edgar Allan Poe.
And the artwork is really neat. It's very... The artwork is very stylized, but it's really neat.
I liked it. Yeah, the style. Okay. It's very iffy for me, and I was like, that looks good. It's very, thematic. Look,
yes,
look,
yes. Bloody Inn is really fun. It's super dark, right? But
it's dark.
It's
and
really
speaking
fun.
Of Bloody Inn, tell us more of Glory to Rome.
Glory to Rome. That's it. It is sort of like set collection, engine building.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cards.
Unfortunately, like I said at the beginning, I literally have only heard of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about it.
It is I have to get it played.
When I did some research about it on Board Game Geek, and it was like, this one is rated, I don't remember, 7.6 for that kind of multi-use card game.
Well,
then Race of the Galaxy is a 7.7. I'm like, oh my god. It's
so,
that close, I gotta try
it. So Glory to Rome is 177 on BGG, like out of their rankings. Cosmic Encounter is 131. And Orléans is 24.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't, whoops.
No.
I don't actually go to BGG very often.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I get on there and hang out sometimes.
I like it. It's honestly around. The biggest thing for me for Board Game Geek is just that it's so easy to keep track of my collection on that site.
Maybe I'll do that.
That's the biggest thing for me is like, okay, I have those expansions and I have those games. Good to know.
I use it to track my collection.
Yeah, and also, obviously, I can be like...
I have a shelf for that.
Yeah, sure.
I have too many shelves for that.
I don't, but I just lazy.
Right.
So the collection. But also, you know, knowing what I rated games is just good to me, right? Because I could keep that somewhere else, I guess. But it's just really simple for me to go to my collection and be like, so these are my 10 out of 10 games.
These are the ones.
I tried to do a 10 out of 10, do my top 10 games. I got through three, and I was like, you know what? I can't rate the rest.
Well, that's the thing with... See, that's the thing I actually like about Board Game Geek's ranking system is, like, it's just a 10 ranking system, right? But it's not. See, I don't say I gave the game a 9. I gave it a... I like it and would recommend it, or whatever, because they label their numbers.
Okay.
Their numbers all have sentences linked to them.
That
so,
could be cool.
So a 6 is like, I'll play if in the mood, or a 7 is I'll play if in the mood, and I'm like, that's how I feel about that game. You know, like, so it makes it way easier to rank on there compared to other sites, in my opinion.
They do.
I'm going to have to give myself a profile.
Not a sponsor.
You could go and do, if you looked at, like, what is it, Pub Meeple or Meeple Pub, where you go, so you go in and you link your BGG account collection to them. And then if you want to look at your top 10 games, you go through and they'll give you two and you pick one and they'll give you two more and you pick one and you give you two more and you pick one and you'll start to see like one you've already picked like paired up with a different game or maybe two you've already picked but they were paired up with other games and you just go through and I mean you just cycle through and you just go through. And do it over and over
clever.
And they're like,
still not certain.
These are the games that you love the most.
You bring two games up and I'd be like, yes.
Really?
Right. Trust me, when I get to like Cthulhu Wars in Concordia, it's like sweating. I don't know, man.
How much you love both of those games.
I don't.
I'm going to add another one, Concordia. Because that's the one that you said is worker placement and deck building, right?
It is sort of. Yeah.
Because I said I was looking for a game that does both.
Yes, Concordia is fantastic.
So I'll add that.
It's a solid game.
I love Concordia so much. I haven't even played the expansions. Everybody talks about like... Salsa and Venus are both like really good expansions, and I have not played either.
I think it was solid without the expansions.
Yeah. I mean, I'll end up with them eventually.
Eventually.
Sure.
But I'm not in a hurry because the base game is so good. I love playing it. And it's not hard to teach, but there's a lot of strategy there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take...
The best games like that.
Doesn't take like a ton of time, you know, so it's... Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. So Spencer... Spencer said that he wanted to highlight a game and talk about it.
Yeah, it was,
so send us out on a really
I'm waiting.
Amazing, no pressure, high note.
Well, I'll try to highlight games that are somewhat educational or good for kids and things like that because like the coronavirus, I've got kids.
Yes,
and this one. It was on Kickstarter last year, late last year, and I almost backed it. And now I've seen it. It's available in retail with all of the expansions. I'm like, oh, thank God, because then I can actually get it.
Okay.
It's called Lord of the Chords.
Huh. Haven't heard of it.
No.
It is.
Is it guitar? Is it chord?
Yeah,
C-H-O-R-D-S?
Like, C-H-O-R-D-S. Okay. It's about music, and it is puntastic.
Oh, baby. Spencer is a musician.
I'm a musician. I play the guitar. I sing. And my wife, she plays the flute and the piano, and she sings.
We get it. You guys are all super talented.
Oh, I can actually talk about my wife singing, playing guitar, too. I just didn't want you to be left out.
Yeah, we yodel and claw.
Yodel's good.
Yodel and claw. Badly.
And so the game has cards, so an A chord, but then... It teaches you things like a diminished chord because you can add the diminished to it. And on the side of the chord, it'll have these are the notes on a piano. These are the notes that will be in that chord, but when you diminish it, it replaces them. And so you can see how you build chords and you can see music theory.
But what if you only know three chords?
Yeah, teach you the rest of life. And that's the thing is you don't have to know anything about music to play the game.
What's it called one more time?
Lord of the Chords.
Someone's paying attention.
I got so distracted by diminished chords and then
you were talking about
your wife being able to play guitar and sing and I was working on insults because then I'm like, well, what do you do?
I gotta get him back somehow.
What do you do? Ouch. It's fine that you married up, sure.
I talk about board games.
My wife is a musician and a PhD. A chemist. Ooh. So, I married up.
There's nothing wrong with punching above your weight class, man. I married up as well.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting because I used to play music. Totally got out of it just because of time, I guess, you know. But I used to play violin And I always liked playing piano, but I was never good at it. But I can't read music or do anything anymore.
I'm terrible reading staff music.
Yeah, okay.
So I memorize the music when I do it. And sometimes I do it by ear, which I'm told is unique.
Really?
It's probably wrong, but...
That's actually the only way I learn how to play music, is listening to it.
Awesome.
And then, like...
Yeah, when I learn by listening and repeating it and figuring it out myself... And my wife will just sit down with a piece of music and I'm like, how did you do that?
Yeah. Sanskrit!
So this will teach you how to form chords and all sorts of things like that. It's for ages 10 and up. It takes about an hour to play, 2 to 4 players. But the thing I love the most about this, well, maybe not the most. One of the things I love about this game is the travel box. The travel box is this little wooden box that looks like you just took the keys of a piano and there we go.
Oh.
It's got the raised black keys and everything.
That's the technical term, black
keys. Raised black keys.
Yeah. I like that band. The Black Keys.
Yeah. Oh, they're really black eyed keys.
No.
Oh.
Don't.
We said Puntastic.
Yeah. Don't. The Black Keys are really good.
So
don't sully them.
Quick question. What did the expansions add to the game?
Yeah.
Because you said there were a lot of expansions.
More chords.
Yeah, different kinds of
instruments,
chords and things like that. One of the expansions is the travel box.
Oh, okay. So,
but it's a fun looking game. It looks educational.
So our question,
I'm
going to speak for both of us. When are you going to buy it so that we can play it?
Oh God!
See, right?
Yeah, I have a question. How did you know I was going to say that?
I know, right?
I'm thinking about it. I'm really thinking about it because I just backed Return to Dark Tower.
Right,
and
exactly.
And another one's coming up that I'm like, oh, I kind of want to back
that
one. And
you want all the expansions, probably.
Yeah.
You know, so,
and then I'm like, but I want to get this one, too, and my wife's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm. You better start selling some blood.
I've been selling my blood.
You better start busking on the corner. Like, so you're going to be standing next to a guy that's, like, hungry, and you're going to be like, need board games.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll play you the Zelda theme.
Yeah. That might work. It might work. You got to find the right spot.
Got to go to a con.
You got
to
find the good... Right? Right.
Stand at the corner at a convention and be like, all right, we're going to do Garuda in Garuda Valley. Here we go.
So what we'll let you do is on our game weekends, you just show up, like stand in the corner, put out like a jester cap for money.
You know I have
and
one.
I know you do. And then we will just let people... You provide the ambient noise, right? And play Green Sleeves, you know, instead of Freebird, I guess.
Let's go with Stairway to Heaven. And,
yeah,
same song.
Yeah.
Dust in the Wind for the 12th time
today. 12th time. And there'll just be one guy with a beard crying like in the corner the whole time.
Oh, you gotta grow out your beard? That's so nice.
I can't.
Oh,
I look like Joe Dirt when I try to grow more than this.
This is his beard.
This is the beard. This is as glorious as it gets. You magnificent bastards
Whatever.
Do way better than I do. But... So, yeah, no, that sounds good. Lord
of the chords.
I got it.
He just talks slow sometimes.
I was spreading it out.
It was dramatic.
Dramatic. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
So those were some games that, other than Lord of the Chords,
yeah.
Some games that maybe everybody else but us have played.
Yeah.
I thought of one while we were talking.
Oh.
Maybe you guys have played, but I have not. The Manhattan Project?
Nope.
No.
Know all about it. Haven't played it. Yeah.
I should know all about it. It's kind of what my wife studies.
Right. That's I assumed when I said it that you would be like, yep.
That's a game?
And I expected Dan to say, that's a game?
Yeah, I did.
You did.
How did you do that?
Right. Well, we predict things.
Got it.
So.
No, I can't get my wife to even watch the show about the Manhattan Project.
She's like, that's work for me.
Because she knows that if she does, everyone in the world is going to want her opinion because it'll be a professional opinion. And she doesn't want to have to do that.
So, would she watch Chernobyl?
That's the one she hasn't watched yet.
Oh.
Well, she watched the previews and she was like, there are so many things wrong with the previews, I can't even.
Ouch. Okay, I've heard good things.
That show is amazing.
Oh, no. It is amazing.
No,
they didn't have any actinide scientists.
The problem.
So.
God.
Well, it's because they went off of like what the Soviets were doing.
Oh.
And they did a lot of stuff really wrong.
Oh, I'm sure.
Badly. It's amazing. It's so depressing to watch. It's so
Yay.
Cool. Let's watch
Can't
the
end, Let's end on a happy note.
Yeah.
Chernobyl.
Remember that disaster that killed all of those people? And
that new board game coming out. Killing puppies.
I can't wait to get the catapult expansion.
Cat, C-A-T,
appult. You put them in, you launch them over. Fantastic. I think we just came up with another board game idea.
Now I've got, I had another one as we were going.
So here,
I've
let
got
me
four board games I gotta make.
Let me pitch this board game idea to you really quick that I just had. You all have, we all live on a block. We're all neighbors, right?
Yes, we're not.
Right, but in this game, that the theme of the game is we're all neighbors. And your player board, or your section of the board, is your house and your yard. And it's fenced in.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see where you're going with this.
All of these stray animals are invading our properties. And we are launching them to our neighbors.
Wow.
So it's like tower defense, but you're like...
We're not using actual catapults. It's spoons.
Oh, like it's a dexterity game now.
Dexterity game.
Now that's an expansion.
Add in the status cards to where, like, oh, Billy's allergic to cats. I'm going to launch more cats over there.
Yeah, so I'm giving you, now you've got a cat hair allergy. Start sending all the cats over.
You don't get to refresh because the cats kept you up all night.
Right, right. Well, I send the raccoons over. Now there's trash all over your yard, so you got negative points.
That's funny.
We just made a game.
Yep. Well, you didn't. What you did is you gave someone else the means to make
it. No. We got to get it right for next proto-spiel.
Oh, boy.
actually, let's commit to this on film. We will have a game in development to play by next proto-spiel.
Together?
Yes.
Oh, really?
We've been kicking some ideas.
Cool.
We'll talk to you.
We might have one or two.
I'm going to run with this
I like them both.
Animal Wars both idea. I'm going to run with that one. Because I think we've got like two games working with what we've been talking about. And I know we're very vague, but we don't want to give anything away. We've got some interesting, hopefully unique themes and some mechanics we're trying to integrate. Do something that hasn't been done.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll find out.
And then Dan will play it and be like, boring.
It's so mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the cat one would be me, or the where you're launching the
animals. Yeah, but I assume that's also like a what?
Jovial.
Game.
Yeah, it's gotta maybe. It's gotta be. It is a 5 hour.
Yeah, right. 15.
Five minutes.
No, wait, 5 minutes.
It is a 5 hour game. We go to Pet Refuge and we adopt all the pets.
No. All proceeds of the game go to Pet Refuge.
Well, there you go. That's a much nicer
way. I was
going
to say to catapult, builders, but.
Right. Yeah, catapult builders.
Few and far between.
Right. There's not enough catapult builders. Yeah. So we need to fund them.
New Kickstarter, catapults.
Got it.
That was fun, that right, was, guys?
Yeah.
Right. We're going to lose all of this at the end.
Right.
Slow down.
Thank you for watching the Board Game Rundown. I hope that you have been at least like this much amused by it like we have been, because we will sit here and amuse ourselves all night.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
So I've been Tim.
I'm Spencer.
I'm Dan.
Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for watching Board Game Rundown. If you liked what you saw,
give us a thumbs up.
Hit subscribe.
And definitely ring that bell.